Good Monday morning to you, my Walking with Jesus friends. As we begin a new week together, I wonder where your path will lead you this week. Will you find yourself in situations or even in places you had not anticipated and are awkward, unpleasant, maybe even dangerous? What will you do then to keep calm and make wise decisions? We're on a 40-day journey with Jesus toward his Easter, and today let's walk with him on a path that was very unexpected for the men who had been spending some days getting to know Jesus. As far as I can tell, there were at least five guys with Jesus: Andrew and Peter, Philip and Nathaniel, and John, who is writing the story for us. They've only been with Jesus a short while, maybe 2 or 3 weeks. They've seen Jesus change water into wine at a wedding in Cana and stir up some chaos in the temple in Jerusalem. John tells us Jesus and the guys were heading back north to the Galilee region. Andrew, Peter, and John were fishermen, and they needed to get back to work, as did Philip and Nathaniel. As they walked along, I presume they had lots of questions for Jesus about the things they'd seen him do and some of the head-scratching things they'd heard him say. Not too far north of Jerusalem, they reached a fork in the road. Right would take them to Jericho and along the Jordan River north to Lake Galilee and their home. The much longer way left would take them east toward the Judean hills and then meander north toward Mount Carmel and then eventually Cana and Nazareth. That was the much longer route, but both roads were well traveled. Going straight north was another road, primarily a road of foreigners, for that road led into Samaritan territory, and you'll recall I've explained to you that no self-respecting Jewish person would go there. Bad blood, prejudice, bigotry, and so many other such words described the relationship between Jews and Samaritans in the first century. I can see Jesus looking both ways at the fork in the road and saying, "Which way, fellas?" Perhaps there was some discussion. I doubt it, for the road west toward the Jordan River would be much shorter, and these guys likely wanted to get home as soon as possible. But Jesus shocked them, as he often did. May I ask you, does God surprise you from time to time? How do you respond when that happens? John records it this way. Now Jesus had to go through Samaria, John 4:4. As Jesus turned north from that fork in the road, the men with him were stunned. I doubt they moved. After a few steps, I can see Jesus stopping and turning back to them and simply asking, "Are you coming with me?" It was decision time, the first of many, many times those following Jesus would have to decide if they were willing to walk with him, even if they didn't understand. Have you done that, my friends? If so, where did Jesus lead you? These guys had no idea, but their worldview was about to change in a most unexpected way. Here again in your notes, I've put a map to help you see where Jesus and the guys walked. John tells us Jesus walked to a town in Samaria called Sychar. Like most small towns, it was built around a well of fresh water, which in days past would have attracted the traveling herds of animals. But people need water too, so Jesus sat down in the well since he was thirsty. Have you ever noticed God pays close attention to time? And I'm sure you've had many coincidental encounters with people who just happened to be at the same place you were at the very same time, even though you hadn't planned it, right? That's what happened at the well in Sychar. No sooner had Jesus and the guys approached the well than a Samaritan woman carrying her water jar came toward the well. It was likely her daily chore at this very time. John mentions it was the sixth hour, which would be about noon. The sun was high and hot. The guys with Jesus watched the woman and they backed away. She was a Samaritan. But Jesus just sat there, almost as if he was daring her to approach the well and draw up some water. Their eyes met. Jesus smiled and nodded a silent but respectful hello. Jesus spoke, "Will you give me a drink?" John tells us he and the others had left the well and gone into the village to find food. But I wonder, did they not go far? Did they linger just a short walk from the well, watching Jesus, wondering what he would do? They each knew what they would have done. Of course, they wouldn't have come this way in the first place. John records the Samaritan woman's response to Jesus. "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" John 4:9. If John and the guys were just around the corner watching, I'm sure they were nodding in agreement and probably thinking, "She's right, Jesus. What are you doing? No good Jewish man would be talking with her. In fact, no God-honoring Jewish man would be here. What are you doing, Jesus?" If we're honest, friends, do we sometimes ask God similar questions? Jesus' response shocked the Samaritan woman. If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. By now, she has put down the water jar and begun lowering the bucket into the well. Perhaps she's shaking her head. What in the world is this man talking about? What gift of God? Who is this man, and what is this living water he's mentioned? Perhaps she shook her head, showing her confusion. But as she worked, she also talked. Sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and this well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Jesus leaned over and looked into the well. She was right. It was deep. He responded, Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give will become a spring of water welling up inside them to eternal life. John 4:13-14. The woman poured the bucket into her water jar and wondered, What was this man talking about? She said to Jesus, Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water. I don't know her tone of voice, but twice her use of the word sir suggests to me that she felt insignificant, perhaps a bit afraid or even intimidated in this conversation. Without answering her unspoken questions about the living water or the gift of God or even who he was, Jesus said one more simple but probing thing to her. Go, call your husband and come back. In the view of most people, including the five guys with Jesus, this was a totally inappropriate conversation, and the right thing to do was what Jesus just did. Show his respect for this woman by inviting her to bring her husband so they could talk as men. It was not at all appropriate for a man to be having a conversation with a woman he didn't know, especially a Jewish man and a presumably married Samaritan woman. Her response did not surprise Jesus. In fact, it was a setup. It was a test. Would she be honest about her marital status or hide the secret? Her answer was short, and I presume she was picking up her water jar, putting it on her shoulder, assuming this conversation was over. I have no husband, she said as she turned to walk away. The pain in her voice was revealing. This dear woman had only known failed relationships with men, perhaps going all the way back to her childhood. With great tenderness, Jesus replied, You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you've had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have said is quite true. John 4:17-18. I imagine the woman nearly fainted. She put her jar back down and stared at Jesus. Who was this man? How did he know about her personal life? Her mind scrambled for something to say. Sir, I can see that you are a prophet. She could tell somehow Jesus had supernatural insight into her painful life, and yet he had not shamed her. Why not? Why was this man so gentle, tender, compassionate, when they had never met before, as far as she knew? Let's be careful, my friends, that we don't jump to conclusions about why this dear woman had been married five times. Regardless of how or why those marriages ended, each separation would have left her deeply wounded. Death, divorce, abandonment. No matter how a marriage dies, it kills the heart of those left behind, doesn't it? Let's pause right here with Jesus and this deeply wounded woman, and I invite you to let this same Jesus look deeply into your life, your past, your soul. He knows all about it. He's seen and heard everything that's ever happened in your life. Regardless of your woundedness today, may I invite you to do as this woman is doing. Let Jesus look deeply into your life story, and without any judgment or accusations or ridicule, let Jesus tell you he loves you and wants to give you his miracle touch that will be like a spring of refreshing living water inside you, bubbling up hope every day. Tomorrow, we'll see how this conversation ended. For today, let's just sit with Jesus and this woman and let Jesus touch your heart as he's touching hers. And here's a familiar song sung by an African brother to help you sense God's invitation to Jesus.